Welcome to Your Ultimate Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hi there, welcome to today's episode of Your Ultimate Life. Today's episode 853. And first of all, I want to make sure that you have gone to www.yourultimatelife.ca to get the stuff that's there for you to create your ultimate life, that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that you can create. Why? Because you are amazing. You have the skills, the gifts, the talents, the capability. And often we live in this fog of believing that we're somehow not good enough, that we somehow can't cut it, that we somehow are less than. And it's not true. It's not true. It's never been true. Yet I see so many people live days, weeks, months, years, and sometimes their whole lives like that. So get over to www.yourultimatelife.ca and get that stuff, the five master keys to your ultimate life. Today, I'm going to talk about self-compassion, what it is, what it isn't, and why it is so important. Now, you notice on the screen there, I'm using The Alchemist as, my name right now. Obviously, I'm Kellen, but I use alchemy because it's a mix of science and magic. And that's really what this growth process is for our lives. You know, we have scientific explanations for all kinds of things, and that's wonderful and good. And we know what some of the, neurotransmitters and chemistry and emotions and how they work. And we also know about how we are socialized, about that negative feeling that I talked about earlier, somehow that we're not worthy, not good enough. Like, we know some of the chemistry and some of the sociology associated with all that stuff, right? And how come we end up with this context straitjacket? Now, for those that don't know, everybody knows what a straitjacket is, right? A context straitjacket is a straitjacket or limiting cloak, as it were, made out of your thoughts, your beliefs, your definitions, your experiences, your expectations, and your perceptions. Everybody looks and lives in the very same situation completely differently. That is simply a truth, but because it's true, you and I live with a context, which is how we define the world around us, what we think our place is in the world, what we think we're capable of, what we think will come to us, what we believe we can and can't create. And that set of beliefs, that just limits us like chains, like walls. And so I use that acronym, Be Deep, because it's not just beliefs, it's definitions, how we define ourselves and our meaning. Our experiences, all the stuff that's happened before, our expectations, which is usually the thought that what has happened in the past is going to equal the future. It's going to be the same no matter what. It's just going to be the same over and over again. Now, that's not true, but we believe that. And the last is perceptions, how we perceive events and people's comments and success and failure and what happens around us. So that BD, beliefs, definitions, experiences, expectations, and perceptions, that forms your context straitjacket. Now, the good news is you don't have to stay in that straitjacket unless you want to. The bad news is most folks don't take it seriously, and they live limited by that set of beliefs forever. And you will, unless you change it. So this is your invitation to rip off that whole context. Rip off the context. That thing I mentioned earlier, the five master keys to your ultimate life at that website, www.yourultimatelife.ca, is another tool, another thing that I have created from my own experience and from working with many folks that will help you rip off that straitjacket, create a new reality for yourself, and create your own purpose, prosperity, and joy. Because the truth is, and we all know this, no one's coming. No one's going to come. Cavalry isn't going to come flying over the hill and rescue us at the last minute. Not going to happen. You get what you create. We all do. Now, one of the things I have to say about that every time I say it is, As soon as I say that or something like it, someone says, yeah, but I didn't ask for abuse. I didn't ask to be a victim. I didn't ask to be hurt. I didn't ask for damage. I didn't ask for the upbringing I had or the betrayal of a business partner or of a marriage partner. I didn't ask for any of that. It got done to me. You're right. It did. And you still create your own life because every single person who breathes air has a pile of those things. And in fact, it seems to me that the pile that I have and the pile that you have and the pile of those difficulties that everybody has, those piles are tailor-made for us, individually calculated for our growth. So when I say you create your life as the creator, what I mean is when those things happen, you and I, we each decide what to do with them. We're going to lay down and be a victim and complain that it isn't fair. Got nothing to do with it. The wars going on around the world, they're not fair. Why they started, what's going on, the tactics employed, the people dying and suffering, they're not fair. I've got a client or a friend right now, kind of a client, who is a wonderful woman. She's made a couple of movies about Ukraine and the injustice and unfairness that's going on over there in detail. And it's from the point of view of several women that she interviewed over there. She made several trips over. And, you know, it's about saving the children, the hundreds of thousands of children that have been forcibly removed from one country to another and are being, you know, reprogrammed, right? So those unfairnesses are the substance of life, kind of like the air we breathe. They are. And they're the air of life for everyone. And you may look around and say, they had it better than I did. Well, you don't know that. You don't know what anybody else has gone through. So pretending you do is a waste of time and a waste of your energy and a waste of your creative opportunity. Because your opportunity isn't to create something for them. It isn't to build somebody else's life. Neither's mine. My opportunity is to build my life. And what I've chosen to do with my life, because remember, we each have choice. What I've chosen to do is to be in the people encouragement business, to be in the service business, the love business. To help every single person I can love themselves, create from their own greatness, and to make a big impact, to add good to the world. Now, the size of big may be tiny if you live in a small place and never get out of there. If you're in a big place and you have lots of connections, it might be big. But you know what's most important? I'm going to say this carefully and slowly. What's most important? More than the amount of impact that you have is who you become as you make the choices you have in front of you as you move through those difficulties. I'll say that again because it's so important. The choices you and I make as we move through that pile of struggle that's on all of us, those choices create who we are. From that place, we can have impact on as many as we can. And for some, that's a lot. For some, that's few. It doesn't matter. What matters is who we become. Because when we go home to our Creator, we're not going to take any list of accomplishments or any bank account statements or anything else. We're just going to take who we have become. We came into this world the way we came in, with nothing or in whatever circumstances. When we go home, the only thing we're going to take is who we have become. Our character, our choices, that's it. Today, I want to talk about a critical element in making those decisions of what we do when struggles are upon us, as they are all the time. I read a study once that said well over 50% of people at any given time in a sample, and I don't know where the sample was, it might have been North America, but it might have been worldwide, over 50% of those people in that sample are going through some terrible struggle right now. And I don't mean, you know, small inconvenience. I mean divorce, loss of job, health struggles, family significant problems, aging or dying parents, you know, those kinds of major poverty, bankruptcies, all of that stuff is going on and going on all the time. And in a given sample, more than half the people in that sample at that moment are going through one of those dramatic things. Well, that means, it's obvious, that's the design of life. And if it is, then our opportunity is to make the most of it. Now, one of the most important tools to do that is today's topic, self-compassion. What is that? Well, that means a lot of things. So we're going to have a lot to unpack here. Number one, how do you take care of yourself, your physical self and your spiritual self? Do you spend attention on that? Do you spend at least as much attention on your spirit as your body? Do you spend as much attention on your spirit and body as you do upon your bank account? The thing that you put your most time and effort into is what's most important to you. People tell me when I talk to them, and I talk to lots of folks because that's my job, my work, you know, my commitment this year is to help 250 million people discover who they really are. When I say that, people wonder what that means. You know, imagine a superhero behind a disguise coming out behind that disguise and then revealing their true glory and power. That's who you really are. So I'm committed to help people, 250 million people, discover who they really are and then begin to create from that place of infinite possibility. So we live in a competitive and noisy and often negative world where competition is big, more than you is important, and all the rest. Self-compassion. First, as I mentioned, it's how do you take care of your spirit and body? If bank is all you focus on, or that's what you focus on mostly, you may win there. But if you neglect your body and your spirit, that's your relationships, your emotional stuff, you're going to be a disaster. Okay? Because money doesn't substitute for that. So the question, first of all, is how do you take care of yourself, your spirit, your body, and then the detail, other stuff, which is, you know, your bank and all the rest of the stuff around you. You can't work well if you're depleted and broken. You can't serve from an empty cup. There's all these metaphors that are true, but we mostly don't pay attention. So, question number one, how are you taking care of yourself? Put on your own mask first. We've all heard that. How many times on an airline? Hundreds? Depends on how much you fly. Well, there's a reason. If you don't take care of yourself, you may be able to help someone for a while, but you're going to become quickly depleted, worn out, tired, done, gone, unable to serve. And then you become someone broken, in need of someone else's work. Take care of yourself first. What does that mean? Take care of the body that you have. Look after your physical health. See the doctor. Take your medications if you have them. Exercise regularly. Keep your body in good shape. Take a physical regularly. I just went this morning to go to the lab to have a blood test. I hadn't had for a while. And when I looked at the sheet that the doctor has here in Canada, it's a regular 8.5 by 11 sheet. And then it's got tons and tons of little items to be tested on it. And then they put X's by the ones they want to make sure that the technician draws blood for. Oh, I said to the phlebotomist this morning, wow, a lot of X's, right? And there was, and I don't know that it was extraordinary, but they had to draw three samples of blood. And I've had that done before. I think I had four once years ago. But anyway, care for your body. Care for your feet if they're not working and your joints. And I pay attention to that. I'm getting a little older and arthritis and this and that are part of my daily experience. So I got to pay attention to that. You need to too. In shape, good food, good rest. You pay attention to your sleep. That is self-compassion. That is required. The idea that you're going to be working 18, 20 hours a day, except for perhaps short periods of time, it's not healthy and it's not good and it's not sustainable. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, those things, all-nighters here and there, of course, we've all done that. But caring for your body is first. Next is your spirit. How do you care for your spirit? Do you do it at all? Do you even know what that is? I don't know what you define as caring for your spirit, but I'll tell you what I do. I meditate regularly. I pray a lot. I've had experiences with dying, as you know, and I wrote about it in a book called Meeting God at the Door, Conversations, Choices, and Commitments of a Near-Death Experience. I contracted a fatal illness and my heart stopped. I died in the ICU here in Edmonton. During that time, I had conversations with God at the door between life and eternity and made a conscious, intentional choice to stay. I was given the option. You want to stay? You want to come home? Home meaning go back to where we came from. I chose to stay because I felt like I wasn't done yet. That spiritual care is critical. If you don't, your spirit atrophies just like your body does. What does it mean to have your spirit atrophy? How about you can't hear your intuition? How about you live in fear all the time because you're afraid, you're second-guessing yourself, and things are going to be wrong, and you're worried, and all the rest? All of those things happen when you don't care for your spirit. So I don't know what you want to do to care for it. Like I said, what I do is I meditate, I pray, I read sacred literature, uplifting things. Why? To remind myself that I'm a divine being and so are you. To remind myself not to be hidden behind the mask of fear, the mask of worry if someone's going to reject me or ridicule or humiliate. None of that matters. The best gift you and I can give to the world is to be fully authentically ourselves, to be adding good to the world and serving, creating a life of purpose, finding, declaring a purpose. And you know what? When you serve with your purpose full on, with a healthy, cared for body, however much you can. I mean, I know some people have broken this, that, so do I, ears and eyes and other stuff. But caring for your spirit, that you can do 100% all the time. And it's actually the most important because the spirit is the energy of the soul. It is the core. It is the thing that gives us life and breath. And I don't care what your spiritual tradition is. There was a moment when the Creator breathed into us the breath of life. And we became a living soul, a person, a complete thing. So caring for your spirit, your spiritual, energetic being, with connection to the divine, with sacred literature or videos or things that intentionally nourish you, you can feel when your spirit is uplifted and nourished, just like you had, no one of you have, you've had a good meal, right? Ooh, that tastes good. My body is now content. Spirit is the same way. Every day it needs nourishment. So caring is the first piece of self-compassion. Now, we live also, as I mentioned, in a negative and competitive world, and part of that negative noise is blaming and shaming and so forth. Every one of us has made mistakes. We've tried things and failed. We've done stuff maybe that in retrospect was just horribly wrong, or we did something with good intention and it came out wrong, or we were just completely selfish, thinking of our own needs first and trampled all over others. Those things hurt. They hurt whoever was hurt. They also hurt us. What do you do with that? Well, there's a food for that. Just like spiritual food and physical food and exercise, there's a food for that, and it's called forgiveness. Forgiveness is a whole episode. In fact, I've done several on forgiveness. And I'll do several more. But forgiveness is simply the choice to no longer let events of the past have power in the present. And what I mean by that is if you're angry with someone else and you carry that from a past event yesterday or 10 years ago to the present, or fearful, or you want revenge, or whatever it is, that emotion carried into the present, it poisons the present. It poisons your energy, your attitude, your view of the world. It's a big piece of that context straitjacket. I've been hard done by, I'll never be okay because of XYZ. No, you'll never be okay until you choose it. It is not required to carry the energy of past mistakes or hardships or injustices into the present. Now, you may need help doing that. I did. Okay, I needed to see counselors and did a lot of work to get past the depression that plagued me for decades. Severe, major depressive disorder with all of its accompanying nonsense. I say nonsense because it's bad stuff. Addictions and, you know, on and on. If you want the details, it's in the book Tightrope of Depression. Forgiveness of yourself, forgiveness of others, is not pretending something didn't happen. It's not ignoring the need for justice or recompense or anything. But justice isn't in our hands. The law, the divine, that's the framework for those things. And maybe they work right. Maybe the law does justice, and maybe it doesn't. The divine, in the end, will make sure everything is fixed. I'm glad I don't have to worry about it. But what I know is, if I carry anger toward anyone, including myself, if I carry shame and guilt and beat the daylights out of myself over and over again for stuff that I did, that I now look at and say, what were you thinking? How could you do that? It was not right. It was not good. It was not fair. It was selfish. It was unkind, whatever, to those in my life in the past. There's only a few things I can do. Apologize. I can do what I can to fix it. But most of those serious things you can never fix. When we substitute money in our culture, if somebody sues somebody and they make a bunch of money, that doesn't fix it. It doesn't fix anything. It might create a hardship or, quote, punish the person who gets, you know, has to pay all the money, but it doesn't fix anything. So it isn't any of those things. Forgiveness is simply a choice to leave justice alone. Leave it to God or to the law or whatever the right framework is. And don't carry that emotion. You have the ability to forgive. You have the ability to forgive yourself and to forgive others. So that is the food, the spiritual nourishment for those mistakes that others or we have made. Even if they were terrible and cruel, even if they were stuff you can never, quote, fix. Okay? And you may end up with permanent scars. If someone attacked you with a knife, you may have a big scar on your back forever. You can still forgive them and go forward. I've told the story many times about the dog. I'm not going to tell it again here, but it was an accident. My dog had a limp from the time he was one to the rest of his life. I blamed myself and felt bad, but the dog never cared. The dog forgave completely and lived his life fully and freely. Well, if the dog can do it, you can do it. I can do it. My biggest problem was hating myself, okay? Because of the mistakes I'd made and the things I'd done wrong. I don't anymore. One of my mantras that I say every morning is, I am forgiveness. I carry no judgment, anger, or loathing toward anyone for anything, including myself. I've done all the work I can to fix and to repair, and after that, love is only the way. And if you don't, if I don't, we don't forgive ourselves and others, the only thing it does is turns down our light in the present, dampens our power, turns off our ability to add good to the world. Because you're carrying part of your energy angry in this bitterness and this sack of pain. Drop it, dump it, let it go. Let it go. And if you want to talk more about how to do that, read the book I wrote, Forgiveness, A Journey of Courage to a Place of Freedom and Power. I wrote it because I needed it. So there we got physical care. We've got spiritual care. We've got the food, the nourishment that comes because we have made mistakes, and all of us have made mistakes and had injustice perhaps heaped upon us. Now, here's another thing, self-compassion, perfectionism. You have the idea, you got somewhere in that be deep, right? Beliefs. That some things have to be perfect, and if they don't they're not perfect or almost, then you suck somehow. That's just not true. You are a human, you're a divine being with great potential, and you make mistakes, and stuff is not perfect. Now, you can carry a baggage about that, or you can simply do the best you can and move on. The best you can means your intent, your focus, you practice your skills, you do what you do for the best and move on. You see that in sports. If a team goes out and plays badly for a game or even for a week or a month, if the more they carry that forward, the worse they do. They've got to, quote, shake it off. They've got to approach every situation empty, free, capable, drawing on their practice and rehearsal. Now, there's another one. Okay? So eliminate the idea of perfection. Do something with all your heart. And then be done and move on. Now, the next thing is this rehearsal or practice. I don't know what you want to be good at, but being good at something is its own reward. But self-compassion is loving yourself enough to get good at what you do. Love yourself enough to take the effort, to have the discipline, to get good at what you do. That is so beautiful. Not because everybody's watching and they say, oh, yay, or you can go out for bragging rights. Just because you get good at what you do. Whether it's art, writing, teaching, literature, creating widgets, delivering pizza, coaching, athletics, love yourself enough to get really good, to move into the realm of excellence. Just because you can, just because you're worth it, just because you're amazing, just because that's how you and I each add good to the world. Okay, now there's another piece, and that is this: authenticity. If you live your life pretending to be something that you're not, that carries baggage also, because then you're always afraid you're going to be found out. A perfect example of that is people that have this persona they try to maintain on social media. Wealth and travel and, you know, just to show this and show that. There's nothing wrong with sharing what you're doing. But you and I both know, and I've had conversations are so funny. Someone puts an appearance out there about how they are in terms of position and wealth and, in, you know, what their money that they're making and all that stuff. And then when you talk to them, or I have talked to them, and they talk about what they're doing and really want and everything, the subject of not enough money, can't do it, comes up all the time. And I think, you know, this is so opposite of what the image is that's projected. Why do we do that? That is a rock, a baggage rock in your backpack that you carry. And just like lack of forgiveness, lack of transparency or authenticity is baggage. It means that you can't be your authentic, true, loving, giving self because you're hiding something. And then you have to have the question, what is it that you're afraid of that you have to pretend this in when the truth is that? What is that about? Why is it that you or I were not content in our own skin as it is? That doesn't mean we're lazy or we don't want to create stuff and move forward. Of course you do. Purpose, prosperity, and joy doesn't come in an Amazon box. You build it and create it. But pretending you're 10 yards or 10,000 yards or miles or something further along than you are is damaging. Not because you're going to get found out, but because you are a fraud. Why would you put that baggage on yourself? Why would you say, I'm going to live in a duplicitous way, two-faced, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in business with a business partner, whether it's in your own life, pretending you're a certain way and then not being that way. I used to do that all the time when I had drug problems. Boy, did I hide those. They came from my depression and my need to hide the pain. And everybody knows how that cycle works. But on the other side, I didn't get help. I was just, I was all this and that and the other. Nonsense. Self-compassion. Nourish your body. Nourish your spirit. Forgive yourself. Live authentically. Open. No pretense. And love yourself enough to get good at what you do. Take yourself moving into the realm of excellence. Now, here's the final piece for today. I've given those five thoughts. And the last thing I want to do is those need to be intentional and not occasional. I used to teach piano for many years, and those students, whether they were adults or kids, advanced or not very advanced, those that practiced regularly on a regular basis, they were intentional about their work, they made so much more progress, and the progress and skill stayed with them than those who practiced occasionally. Even if those occasions were many hours long, the hours don't matter as much as the consistent repetition. It works the same in your body workouts, in your spiritual workouts, in your skill development, every single thing. So compassion also means regular and intentional. And all of this adds up to a simple phrase: love yourself. You're a divine being. God created you for a reason. Even though you've had these hardships and problems and struggles and made this mistake and that mistake, it doesn't matter. What matters is where you are today and what you decide today. The baggage of yesterday is gone. Clean up what you must and then move forward with love and boldness. Move forward with excitement, truth, and recognizing who you really are instead of swimming in the sump of the past. Create. You are a creator. This is your invitation to move forward and create your ultimate life. Open your
heart and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet on the